Welcome
Except
to
for the sea monster could fly.
The sea monster could fly. Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, Mark, Leviathan, classic, Peter Weller, Professor
Richard
Weller,
Krenna.
Richard Krenna, Ernie Hudson, Amanda Pays, Daniel Stern, Meg Foster, otherwise known as Cat-Eyed Lady, who played Evil-Inn from Masters of the Universe.
And the mom in Blind Fury. We can't forget that.
Mom in Blind Fury.
Howard classic.
Yes. Must have been, I'm going to say late 80s.
Yeah, that's like 88 maybe.
Yeah. Pretty high production costs.
Yeah, special effects.
Stan Winston and ILM did the visual effects, so it's pretty gruesome, pretty crazy. Basically, the plot is alien underwater.
Pretty much.
They never give you a sense of the date, but the kind of stuff they're dealing with in terms of the technology, having this like undergrounding mining, oceanic mining facility.
Because apparently, like five, you know, kind of like in Harley Davidson, the Marvel
yeah.
Man. Where they just shift it, like, 5 years in the future for whatever reason?
Well, they at least say that in that. They don't say it in this. They never
right,
give
but
you
we
any
assume
sense
it's
anything.
In the future because metals apparently have gotten so fucking expensive that we've had to go under the water, which would be so freaking cost prohibitive. An ounce of... And they were mining for silver besides.
Yeah, they're mining
so
silver.
So silver has got to be, like, thousands of dollars an ounce by this point to even make it worthwhile.
I have no idea. But the point is they're about, they're about 3 miles down.
I got you.
About 3 miles down, apparently, it says, in the middle of the Atlantic, when one day one of the miners discovers this sunken Russian ship, and they find this
Daniel
vault
Stern, otherwise known as Six Pack.
Otherwise known as Six Pack.
He was a prankster.
He's a prankster. He's a perv. He's totally playing against caste in this. He's not a wet bandit.
He's not the Wonder Years.
He's not the Wonder Years. He's not Blue Thunder.
He's not a wimp.
Wet behind his ears. No. Finds this vault, the safe that they take, and they think they're going to pillage some stuff.
Which is pretty damn risky when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he finds some flask of some shine in with the Russian stuff and decides he's going to have a
vodka.
Sip of it. But it's in the flask. The vodka thing kind of ended up being a red herring. Because they all drank some of the water from the vodka. And
you can put it was vodka.
Yeah. But the thing that was the carrier for the virus or whatever was the
vodka.
Was in the flask.
Right, which was vodka.
Okay, fine. But that's
they never drank
the
vodka,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That he just had some in the flask.
Yeah, from the flask.
It was a Russian fucking ship. You think they had like what, potato whiskey?
I think they had potato whiskey. So Daniel Stern and the redhead from Beverly Hills Cop.
She was blonde.
Blonde, I don't know, whatever she was. From
Lisa something.
Yeah, and she worked with Balky at that boutique or that art studio, art gallery in Beverly Hills.
Right.
They drink up, and then they get skin rashes, and then they croak, and then they fuse together and turn into a sea monster, and then hijinks ensue, and it's basically alien at that point.
People's appendages get crushed.
It's really...
Worm-like...
Yeah.
Eel things like eat into people.
Eel things eat into Jesus.
Lots of mayhem.
Mayhem, zaniness, and they're using torches. They're using flamethrowers and saws. And
yeah,
things.
Because they don't have any real weapons other than explosives, which would be
because
a bad idea
yeah.
when you're in a highly pressurized environment.
Well, but you know, it's what they
because
need for mining.
I was thinking about that. That
risk
makes absolutely
really
no
dangerous.
Fucking sense either.
They showed them
you
using.
You wouldn't risk changing the pressure. I mean, variations in the pressure around your underwater water station. Underwater station?
Well, they went off to do the thing. Yeah, it's got a lot of, like, incredulous scientific stuff. But yeah, it's pretty fun. I'd say I don't prefer it to Alien because it's not as good as Alien in terms of the creep
well,
factor.
Well, no, it's a little bit...
George P. Cosmatos, who I think did Tango and Cash, directed
this,
and not really Scott.
Yeah, the directing wasn't real impressive, but the story itself creeps me out. It's the same claustrophobic you know, you're not going to survive. Everybody's giving up on you. You have like one chance in a million to survive. Story that just kind of creeps me out. Not to mention the whole the same alien idea of something growing inside of you. And
yeah, it's not so much as creepy as the alien thing from the monster perspective, but the thing about the claustrophobia and everything. I mean, obviously, in deep space, you have the same thing, but I think it's a little more like grounded in. And, like, that can actually be the situation here. You know, it's like you could actually be in a submarine or in some kind of underwater C-Lab 2021 kind of scenario.
Could be on the Challenger, too.
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, you're stuck and then shit happens. And so there's kind of a primal fear aspect to that. In terms of the characters, you got similar characters to the ones in Aliens. They're obviously like they're rough and tumble miners that, you know, are talking about dealing with getting pay bonuses and their stocks and stock options and everything. I think that the because the movie's kind of slow for the first part, like in the first 20, 30 minutes, really, like, they haven't even found the Russian ship. They spend some time to kind of give you a sense of what the characters are. You know, you kind of get that Daniel Stern is the prankster pervert and Amanda Pays is kind of the serious. I think they mentioned she's training. Is she trying to become an astronaut or something? Maybe she's more science-based.
I believe. What was she training? Maybe she was trained to become a geologist.
Well, no, because she was running. She was, and that's when he said, "How's your training going?" or something like that. Like she was jogging. I got the impression that she was just trying to keep herself physically trained for whatever. And, you know, I don't know. Peter Weller is the geologist who they put in charge. And the whole dynamic of that situation is actually pretty interesting because it's like they basically take this guy who's an egghead, kind of. He's a science guy.
Well, it talks about he's more of a... speaking of Indiana Jones, since we were talking about it earlier, he's kind of that more of that kind of character, goes out, explorer.
He's a research geologist, a deep-sea research geologist. But the thing about it is that they make him sort of like the guy that's in charge of them. And you see from the beginning and stuff that he's not really comfortable with that position of authority. It takes him some time to kind of, you know, to scold and to kind of tell, you know, when people goof off.
Crack the whip.
And then you get the old-timer, miner in Hector Elizondo, who's kind of just quoting, like, hey, union rules say we have to do this and whatnot. You got Richard Crenna as the scientist who had done a lot of good work as a doctor, but had been kind of
had this isn't
bad
a
things happen
Marshall
to him.
Marshall movie, is it?
Huh? Marshall?
Yeah. Frank
Marshall? No, Frank Marshall didn't produce this.
Well, I was going to say Hector.
What are the De Laurentiis?
Does like all of his movies.
Yeah, well, we got Jerry Goldsmith doing the soundtrack. Which is really kind of unremarkable, except at the beginning and the end, there's sort of some music. And really, I would say the music
is kind of upbeat. It's disturbing that it's so upbeat. Since everybody's turned into a sea monster and then got exploded.
Yeah. You get Ernie Hudson as the sort of, like, tough guy that does his thing. You get, so you kind of get, like, you get all your character archetypes and stereotypes and whatnot. And for the most part, it just kind of plays out, and then it turns into a crazy zany scenario, and Richard Crenna gets it with the hangina dentata.
Isn't that dentata?
Dentata.
Well, I don't.
Dick gets it with the hangina dentata. Is all I'm saying. And then turns into a sea monster, and basically, it's this. The thing is about it is it's not like a. They try to explain it through science. It's like basically those crazy Russians were fucking around with some genetic abnormality stuff.
They're trying to create.
Trying to create a merman, I guess, almost.
There you go.
They were trying to make a merman, and they were a few years behind, like, the research that you would see, like, in the second season of Sequest, if you're familiar.
I didn't watch that.
When one of, I forget his name. Anyway, one of the guys had gills. They had done some genetic research to do that.
So it was almost kind of like Kevin Costner.
Aquaman. Just like the Mariner.
Just like the Mariner.
The Mariner, indeed. George P. Cosmatos, this has that 80s look where it looks a lot like Tango and Cash. It's everything's real shiny from a lot of high lighting and
yes, it is.
And I don't know if it's just the film stock or what, but it works for this. It's kind of gives it a grittiness. This movie looked like it was really expensive. I mean, they had like a full, probably a full sound stage where they constructed this substation, Shack 7.
Well, and, you know, it's kind of interesting that I've always wondered how movie ideas get started if one studio takes a look at something, decides not to do it, and another studio takes it, and then they decide they want to do it. So later, they come up with their own fucking scene movie. They rewrite it and change it. And because, as pointing out, there was a cluster of these movies right at that time.
Well, there was Deep Star 6 was another underwater monster-ish movie.
Yeah, there were like four altogether.
I can't remember the other
one. The Abyss is a little bit different, but it's still close enough.
Yeah, but the more people live in the Abyss, don't they? Like, everybody lives in the Abyss.
Yeah, because there's so many fucking underwater movies to pull from.
I know. No. I'm just saying that, like, I wouldn't say that the Abyss is like Alien. I mean, it is in a thin way, but like, this is really like, people could just discount this movie and say this movie is just Alien underwater. I'm not doing that because I thought that there was actually a little more characterization for the characters. I liked Peter Weller, the situation.
It goes into Richard Crenna quite a bit.
It gets into some of the Crenna as the Doc thing. I think that there was more here.
And how he got burned. It doesn't tell you how he got burned.
Yeah.
But he was burned.
He was burned with some vaccine he came up with. And so, like, I don't know. I'd give it a 2.5. Solid 2.5.
Well, I mean, what are we comparing it to?
I'm just comparing it. I don't compare. I do it based on what I think about the movie. I think it was a fun, exciting movie. But well, it really is just
tell me,
alien
give
stuff
me an example
of negativities.
No, give me an example of a one. I want to hear what a one is.
What a one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might give Marlboro Man a one.
Oh.
Because it's like that. It's fun, but if I'm not in the right mood for it, then it's gonna just that I wouldn't want to sit through it. I mean, I don't know. Like Under Siege 2 is like a one.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'm not accepting.
Marvel Man might be a 2 or a 1.5.
It's at least going to be a 2.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be a 1 for Don Johnson.
And a 1, two. A 2 for Hollywood bad boy Mickey Rourke.
Exactly. I mean, it's
the wrestler.
Mickey Rourke being bad. Fuck, what else do you need?
And you got Sizemore running the illegal...
You got Sizemore
running the
very out of character.
Invented drug, right?
Oh, the... Crystal Dream.
Crystal Dream.
Otherwise known on the street as The Dream. Which is why they pushed it ahead. Well, the movie was made in like 91.
They set it in like 97, so 94. That way they could invent their own drugs. So that, I don't know why.
And, well, that, and they were changing Burbank.
Yeah, that's true. They were reinventing Burbank. But that's not about this movie, Leviathan, which...
And you can't forget it had the Daniel Baldwin, the fat one.
That's right. I mean, I think the genetic angle was cool, rather than having...
Oh, shit. What? I'm sorry. You had the Indian dude from Renegade.
Oh, Renegade? It's got Bobby Six Killer?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. Back to Leviathan.
Back to Leviathan. It's a fun one. I mean,
we've said that like a million times. Pretty much, if you get a chance to watch it for free, do it.
Yeah.
If you're a big Peter Weller fan, then I'd say, what the hell?
It's
Richard
like
Crenna as well.
It's a good 80s monster movie.
It's kind of like he's Troutman again.
Yeah.
He's like Troutman after being disgraced by something, but he's still right in the end.
Yeah. You know, it's a decent monster movie. It comes in, like, what, like a minute, an hour 40 or something like that? It's 80s length, so it's not super long. It's a little slow at the beginning. But, I mean, like, they put the effort in, you know? They got the set design, and
they put the effort in, and you gave it a 2.
2.5?
You gave it 2.5? Okay, I can accept that.
No, I mean, because it's, like, it's good, but it's, at a certain point, I don't know. I could give it a 3, I guess. I think I'd give it a 3.
It would have been interesting if there was a little more backstory about the Russians, but...
Well, yeah, a little more... That's what I'd want. I would want a little more something going on. I mean, obviously, when you're thinking of this movie, you're thinking of Alien, you're thinking of The Thing, you're basically thinking of isolated research
that
group.
Richard Crenna was the Wilford Brimley.
Was the Wilford Brimley. And the Ian Holm character, who turned out to be an android.
A robot.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, the android.
I mean, so it's kind of like who, you know, anyone that's going to discount this movie as being a remake of Alien, they're minors, just like an Alien, they're minors. But I mean, they can't then turn around and say, hey, the Thing is so great, and Alien is great, but Leviathan is just a fucking remake of Alien. It's they like, they're all kind of borrowing Aliens, from each other.
In Aliens, it wasn't a mining colony, was it?
Yeah, in Alien, it was a mining. I think in Aliens, I don't know if it was. They were terraforming.
They were terraforming.
Yeah. But in Alien, yeah. So there's obviously a lot more direct comparisons between this movie and Alien than there is between that this movie and The Thing, which, you know, the John Carpenter version, not that Howard Hawks. I think that was who did the original. But, you know, it's a similar genre kind of thing. You wouldn't sit down and watch all three of these together in one night because you would just be so bored with the formula of group of researchers, isolated, something's introduced, causes zaniness, and then it causes fear and trepidation. I would say that in The Thing, there's obviously a lot more with the paranoia between them because of the nature of the monster, because it can kind of turn into anything, it can be any one of them. In this, there's a little of that, but not really because... Or in the Leviathan, there's a little of that, but not really, because...
Well, there's...
They pretty much just turn real quick. There is the sense of who's been infected and who hasn't, kind of, but they never get super paranoid about it. Well, there's a sense of
their boss is fucking with them, too.
Yeah, yeah, and that, which is an Alien also, because that's exactly what happens.
Right.
That's never really the case in The Thing. The Thing, it's more, something just
right,
comes
because they
out.
Don't. They just don't have contact.
Yeah, they don't have any contact. But I'd say, yeah, I think, okay, I'll give it a 3 because it's good. It's good for what it is, and what it is pretty fun. It's not the sort of thing you're going to need to see every single year unless for some reason some particular thing really strikes you.
On a rating of watching it with your special lady, is it a recommendation?
Is it a special lady watch?
Yep.
It's got some
you
good...
You can get a couple squeezes.
It's got a good couple visceral grody moments. But I think it'd be a bad one to watch with a lady because of all the eel-like snake creatures that are jumping out. I mean,
you'd have to hold off on your vagina than tartar.
Yeah.
Comment too.
Indeed. That's really about it. What would you say?
What do I say about?
What do you say for Leviathan?
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Will you agree?
I have a hard time. I mean. It's not like I would tag every movie a 3 or up, but we tend to watch movies that
yeah,
I
yeah, you're at least going to rate higher than a 2 or something. Exciting. Cool. Okay, Leviathan, check it out. And if you want to send us an email, you can email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you have requests that we'll ignore, you know, feel free.
No, we don't ignore. We at least read the emails. We just haven't gotten any.
Yeah, it's going to say.
We'll get some one of these days, maybe. Let it flow. It floats back to you. The love boat soon will be making another run. The love boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. And love. An open smile on a friendly shore. It's love. It's love. Yeah, love. Soon we'll be making another run. No, the cat's gonna lick the thing. No, kitty.